Hello, folks. Welcome to Book Academy Podcast. And it's been a long time since I've uploaded an episode. And it's funny making this because the last one I did was probably on February. And now it's December. And I remember when I started this podcast, I used to make it like almost every week. And of course, it was during the pandemic. But we've had so many things going on. But in spite of it, I'd still have the time to read lots of books this year. I mean, it's not the same amount as I used to read back then, but I think I might have a good amount of books that I will talk to you about, and I will give you a bit of a review. And also, we're doing an off script and just a little chit chat about all of the books that made me feel great for the year 2023. Okay.
Now at the list of the books that I have read for the year 2023. It's really 4 a.m. in the morning. And I know my voice sounds a bit raspy or something. And I just wanted to do this because I can't sleep. So starting off with January 2023, I think I've finished. Well, I think I should start over with the book that I had carried over to January 2023, which is The Memoirs of Geisha. So it's written by Arthur Golden and it's a historical fiction. I've rated it 4 stars, and these are about geishas, or the women who are trained to entertain in Japan. And this is a story of a girl who struggled to become a geisha, and she fell in love with a guy in the book, and that guy had helped her all throughout her life. So it's actually a success story. It's a beautiful one. I think there is a version of a movie or a television something about this book, because I think it's really worth adapting this book to a film. It's a nice way of watching, or a nice way of knowing about a story of a woman during the times of the Japanese War and during the times when women have a different role in our society. So yeah, that was a good book. And the next book I have read is for the first book that I've started last year is actually named or entitled Dead End Memories by Banana Yoshimoto, and I started it in late January. It's a fiction book, and I've rated it 5 stars. I think I remembered the book now. It's a short stories of life. So this book is I don't know how to say it, but it's kind of, when I've read this, I remember just trying to hold onto those short stories because they were lovely, they were magical at some point, and I think it reflects some stories reflects my life or the quietness of my life. And I think I've related so much. I can't remember particularly any of the story because it's been a year since I've read it, but I remember the feeling of reading it, and I did enjoy the entire book. That
I have rated it 5 stars. The next book is Exciting Times by, I can't pronounce her name, it's Naosi, is it Naosi? I think this is an Irish name, Dolan. And it's a fiction book as well, and I've rated it 3 stars. I've finished it, and it's about the story of a 20-something girl who is sleeping with a banker but fell in love with a girl when I think when she came back to Hong Kong. So yeah, I didn't rate it that much because one thing, I'm not a fan of LGBT something stories. I am interested in the dynamics of how relationships work with the same sex, but it doesn't ignite my mind, you know. It doesn't give me a sense of interest, and maybe because of my own gender, or it's because I'm straight or something, I don't understand, but I'm not quite interested in it. Although it is a good way to expand my horizons, I think I should be reading more books that are or romantic books that are of on the same sex, or love stories of the same genders or same sex, because then I would understand how it works, because for me it doesn't appeal to me. I have nothing against it, but it doesn't appeal to me. So yeah, I've rated it 3 stars. Next book that I have read is I think I've read right away. This is The Happiness Project by Suki Fleet, and I've rated it 4 stars. And it is also, I didn't know that it is a story about same sex as well. It's a gay love story with an unexpected magical twist. Yeah, I remember the book. I've read this book while I was on my trip going back home, so it was a long flight, and this was the book that got me through all of those like 24 hours, like 20 hours flight and traveling. But yeah, I was just surprised because at the end of it there was like a magical twist. It became like, it was all throughout real fiction, like normal fiction story, and then a couple of chapters at the end there was like a magical twist, a ghost, a spirit, something, and it did add color and amazement to the story, but it was like a shocking part because I expect that it was a normal book. But anyway, it was a good read and I've enjoyed it as well. The next book is Circe. Now this one is a stunning book. I have I think it's because I've been for a very long time I was a fan of goddess and goddesses. So all throughout in high school, I've read so many stories about the Greek gods and goddesses, or Greek and romance. Is it romance? I forgot. So I said to you, it's off script podcast, and yeah. So I've been putting this book off for like a year, and then I became interested in it because I said like, oh, whatever, I'm just gonna read this book, because I've had like I've stayed away from fantasy books for a long time. I think the last time I've read like a fantasy book was when I was in high school or something. I was in college, probably like that. And I just had outgrown it. But then they said this book was a good one, so I've opened it up. Actually, it's on my Kindle, and it is written by Madeleine Miller. And I've rated it 5 stars because it's just a nice story of an immortal nymph and her love conquest. And at the end of the book, spoiler alert, she chose mortality because of love and like sacrifice throughout love. And it's just not a story. It's not just an ordinary love story. It's a story of love that spans on every generation. Like, it's a story about a love story of a daughter and a father. Her story of being a mother to her son, and a story of love with many men. So, because she's immortal and she had lived so many lives, the story was quite interesting because, she would met Cersei, who's the main character. She had met, for example, I don't know how to say this, but she'd met someone, and then because she's immortal, and the one that she'd met was mortal, that mortal had died, and then she's gonna meet the sun, and you know, she would feel the same way for that person. She'd fell in love again because Cersei was, I think, even if she was an immortal nymph, she embodies, or her character embodies, a normal woman who just fell in love. A woman who just casually fell in love with someone. And I think that was one of the highlights and highlight concept of the book, how a woman just casually falls in love. Because there have been so many love conquests on this one. And I remember Mercury? Is it Hermes? Yeah, I think it was Hermes. One of also her love conquests in that one. And there were like different love stories. It's always a different love story in different man. And it's beautiful. So it's also like empowering for women if you like women empowering stories. This one is a good one. The next book which I have read around June was The Loss of New. I'm still on this book until now. I've started The Loss of Human Nature around June, and I think I'm still on around 10 minutes away from finishing this book, and I haven't finished it. So, The Loss of Human Nature, I've had it, it's written by Robert Greene. It's a non-fiction, and I've been listening to it through Audible. The funny thing about this story, this book, is it's interesting. It's very interesting. It actually is talking about how you'd be more powerful over someone, among all of the nonfiction books, I've read so many nonfiction books. I think this one is quite a difficult one to get through. Well, obviously, I've started it in June and it's already December. But there are so many stories in the book. Like, there would be a lesson, and then there would be a story, and the story would be expounded, and then there would be another lesson about the story, of which would tell you that you should be like this, you should be like that, in order for you to be powerful, in order for you not to be forgotten, in order for you not to be, in order for you to be successful, you should be like this person. But as much as it is hard to get through, I do like the stories in between, because the storytelling was also nice. The story of I think there was a story about the France, about the prince, and the king of France, and the leadership in France, about how someone was beheaded. There was a story about Anton Chekhov. There was a story about a success story about a businessman. I forgot the name. And you'll be, they're kind of short, inspiring, real stories, and then you will learn how the author would navigate through those stories and tell you a lesson about it, would insert a lesson like this, you know, what he should done, you should do that as well, because that would make you powerful, that would make you awesome, that would make you great, unforgettable, whatsoever. Because the loss of the title in itself of the book, it, the loss of human nature, is about the loss of being powerful. How are you gonna be, how are you gonna overcome this and that? It also did talk about the short side about, it's not really a short side, like a short story. There's a short part about how to be successful in relationships, how to be more feminine, how to be more masculine, how you need to act on your femininity and your masculinity in order for you to be more successful in life. And I think that that one kind of stick with me. I think he said that we both have masculine and feminine nature in us, but and he said that we should cultivate what is feminine and kind of be subtle on the masculine side and use it only on like special purposes, because we have more power if we use the feminine side of who we are, blah blah blah. I don't know, so I haven't finished it. It's actually like around 15 or 10 minutes to go for the Audible, but I've just into so many things right now, and with work as well, so I haven't finished it. Next book we're moving to, this one still reminds me of this, I still remember this book. It's Pachinko, and it is written by Minjin Lee. I think she's Korean. And it's a fiction book. I've rated it 5 stars, and it's a generational story of love and family relationships in Korea and Japan during the war era, during the war between Japanese and Korea. So before I've read this book, I didn't know that there was a war between Japanese and Korea. The second thing I didn't know was that how history is so rich in between these two countries. Like, literally, their history is way beyond the Western histories. I know history is very different in every country, but theirs is just like so striking. It's a mixture of culture, of not just you know, being in a war. There is a story of food, of culture, of the way they dress, the way they act, like very different. It's rich. So the story is also adapted as a TV series in Apple TV, and I've watched it as well. So because I didn't watch it because I was interested in Pachinko, I was interested with Lee Min Ho. So he was the one who played Hansu, the main villain kind of the villain, kind of the protagonist, the antagonist of the story. But I love his character. I love his character in the film, but not so in the book. So, I think I bought this book. Yeah, I remember. I remember reading this book in Scotland, and because I bought this book in Scotland as well. I think the reason. No, yeah, I can't remember if I bought this book in Scotland or what, but I've read this in Scotland. I know, and I can recall the day when I was sat on a bench in a certain park in Scotland, looking over the green grass, and then on top of it there is a hill, and on top of the hill was the Edinburgh Castle. Can you just imagine how beautiful my reading environment was during that time? And I was alone on that trip, and I had a snack on my side, and then there was a pigeon on my feet waiting for me to feed him or her, I don't know. So yeah, that was a good reading experience. And I was also on, it's a long book, so I've started it in Scotland, I've read it on the train, I finished it when I was at home, and I did enjoy the story of Sunji and her life around during those times, during the time of war. It's a story of resilience, it's a story of poverty, which I could relate, a story of resilience of a woman, and a story of, there is also some triggers in the book, so it's also like, there's also some triggers in the books. If you're not into traumatic kind of experiences, I don't think it would be good for you. But there are so many things about the book that you will love. It's just not about being a woman during the war. It's about relationships. It's about the family dynamics. It's about survival. All that sort of stuff. It was beautifully written and well researched. So that's why I have no doubt that it's going to be adapted as a film. Oh no, it's not a film, it's a series. But this year, I'm not sure. The series is only until season one. It finished up until season one. And after that, I couldn't find any season that is coming. Anyway, yeah, that was a good book. And that was also a good TV show. Good drama series. Next book, also nice. The Tattooist of Auschwitz. Auschwitz? I can't pronounce it right. It's written by Heather Morris, and it's kind of a romantic fiction, but also historical one. I've rated it 5 stars. I'm so happy I've read this book. So it's a story of a resilience and a luck of a prisoner during the Holocaust, and how he found love during the times of war. Yes, it's really beautiful. I mean, the way he met the prisoner, I forgot the number, and the way they had met at the end, such it's actually true, you know, it's actually a true to life story. The characters of these stories are actually real. So I didn't thought it was real until I flipped on through the last page of the book, and there was like, the author did actually, I think the story was, the one who owns the story actually did ask someone to write the story for him. Like he said, I have a story about how my wife and I met, during the time so far, and I want you to write it. And this is actually a bestseller book. It's a bestseller book. It's a good book. Oh, I love about this. I didn't know, and I have no idea about, like, I'm so ignorant about history that I didn't know about the Holocaust. I mean, I know about it, about Hitler and all that stuff, the Jew stuff, the Semitics, the anti-Semitics, all that crap. But I didn't know. And I felt like when I read it about how the prisoners were gathered, how they were burned, how, like, oh my gosh, why did it happen? Why did the world allow it to happen? Why did the universe allow it to happen? And I've seen movies regarding the Holocaust. It was about, like, the book Thief that I've watched. It's about the Holocaust. It's about the Holocaust movie as well. And I know it's also a book. But I never did got into the realization that there is something so much more than the movie, because the movie is only like an hour and a half, so it wouldn't get you the picture of how it was. But this book, I've been with this for quite a long time, and I realized how dreadful that period was, and I think that it shouldn't be forgotten, and we shouldn't allow it to happen again. Honestly, it was dreadful. The way he talked about, I think the good thing about this story is that it was redeemed at the end. He did actually lived. So, of course, he did live because he was able to get to tell her his story. But there are so many people who died in that story. And even if his life has been redeemed at the end, he had a family at the end, I still think that it was a tragic one for him to witness and to live that life, for him to witness so many people die, for him to witness that era is still tragic, and I think it's still gonna haunt him, even if, you know, for the rest of his life. The good thing about the main character of this book was that he was really smart. I think he downplayed it in the book because he doesn't want to make himself look that he was special or something. But I think he was really smart, and he was special in a way. And also, I could have... also, this book is just a random pick book. No, it is a book that I found in our staff room. So... In our workplace, I don't know who had read this book. So there's like a stack of books in our workplace. It is sometimes from the people who stayed in there and then just left the book, and other from staff. I don't know why, but yeah, I've picked it up, I've read it, and then I didn't return it. I sent it somewhere. So, yeah, I'm a book thief. But no one owns that book, and there is still some stacks of book in our workplace, but I'm not interested in reading any of them anyway. So yeah, I highly recommend reading The Tattooist of Oz, which I wish I had read it earlier. And then next is, yeah, this one, I've read A Little Life, but I have decided, and I'm still battling if I am still going to continue reading it. So there, it is written by Hania Yanagihara, and it's a fiction book, and I'm 25% on the book, so it's on my Kindle, and it says that I've started, I'm on like 25% of the entire book, and I'm not keen on finishing it. So I went to Book Talk, and I've gathered opinions of other people, and they said some of them didn't finish the book. And I agree with them. I don't want to finish the book. I am struggling to finish the book. Although, at the back of my mind, as I'm like, just read it. I mean, just finish it. And then, so that you would say that you would not recommend it because you have finished it and you didn't like it. And you strongly doesn't want it to be read by other people. But there are so many people who have fallen in love with it, cried with it, made it as their best book. I don't understand, because I don't understand why we have to feast over someone else's trauma. It's a trauma after trauma, and I don't like the idea of adopting someone when they are already 30 years old. Like, seriously. I don't think if I'm 30 years old and you're gonna adopt me, I don't think I'd ever be excited about that. And if I am the one who's adopting, why would I adopt someone who's 30 years old? Why is it like that? And also the story of like four guys being friends in a long time. Maybe it does exist, but I don't think the friendship seems to be. I know it's a fiction, but the friendship of four guys, their friendship doesn't seem real to me. I'm sorry about this book, but I am just not keen on finishing it. Anyway, I'm sorry to all those people who love that book. I still have two more. So the last two books that I've read for the year 2023 is The Mermaid and The 40 Rules of Love, which are both good. So The Mermaid is written by Christina Henry, and I've rated it 4 stars. It's a book about a mermaid. It's not a story about the Little Mermaid or anything Disney related. It's a mermaid that is a weird looking mermaid. It's a story about P.T. Barnum, you know, the guy who does the circus. P.T. Barnum is actually a real life person, if I'm not mistaken, and kind of inserted the story of the mermaid, which is not real. So it spans through a story of a woman, of a mermaid who fell in love, became decided to become a normal person, become a woman. And the sad thing is that she doesn't get old. So yeah, she has to see her lover, her partner, her husband die. And not really die. I think it's just, you know, he didn't die. He just went on to fish or to sail somewhere, and then he never come back. But yeah, it's a story about a mermaid. I bought this book in Germany, Stuttgart, Germany, and it's one of my things recently that when I travel or go to a place, I bought a book and I read it. It was a good book. It was a good book. I felt like I've been a fan of mermaids. My favorite Disney character is the Little Mermaid. But yeah, I mean, having a little fantasy on my reading list is actually a good one. It makes me feel inspired to read more. It doesn't add value to my life or anything, because it's a fantasy book, but it just keeps me entertained. And I could imagine the mermaid actually, and it felt like fantasy books are feeding a part of my brain that has been dormant for so many years. And I never thought that I'd still have that part of my brain that would create images, picture magical stuff. And I still have it. I still could imagine the mermaid, how she sparkles on the sea, how she transformed. And to see myself as a very mature, an old, yeah, I'm not really mature, I'm like 28 years old, reading this colorful, magical books, it reminds me of when I was 15 years old, and I was just starting to read The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit. And that excitement, that rush, that first realization that you can picture the images in your head of the things that you have read, of words. You can translate the words into images in your head. And you realize that it is happening unto you, that you have that power. It's just amazing. And to think that I still have it in me is wonderful. So yeah, this book, The Mermaid, it's not one of those bestseller kind of stuff, but it's beautiful. And the love story is so wholesome as well. So the guy, the guy that had fallen in love with the mermaid, he was like very protective of her. He was very wholesome on the book. Like a wholesome love story, which was wonderful. Then another and the last one that I have read for the year 2023 is, this is my best book for the year 2023, The 40 Rules of Love by Elif Shafak. I've read it in the month of December, when I went to, I bought this book in Waterstones in Leeds, United Kingdom. Here we go. So I've bought it in there and I've rated it 5 stars, and it's 100% wholesome book about love, and not just love romantically, but love in its purest form. I have to say that this book is also a Muslim book, so it's written in kind of a Muslim perspective, which is new to me. Because I'm not Muslim, and it is something that I am not very much well versed or educated of. But the thing is, it's beautiful. I mean, there are like the 40 rules of love, and there are 2 stories in there. The story of the present, of the writer, it's not writer, like an editor, and a writer of the actual story. So it's a uniquely written way. That's what I like about it, because it's unique. It's the first time that I have read a book on a book. Like, there is a book on that book. There is a story on that story. So it was wonderful. So like, I'm gonna get you the synopsis if I remember it right. So there is the synopsis would be, the short form would be, there was a woman in her 40s and she was in a happy family, but then she felt like her life was empty. So she went back onto finding a job, and she landed a job as an editor of a book. And then there is her first book to edit was the one that sent, I can't remember, the title of the book was Sweet Blasphemy. Yeah, it was Sweet Blasphemy, yeah. And it's written by a random guy. And so he started reading it. She started reading it. First, she felt like she's not gonna like it because it's not her genre kind of thing. So when she read it, she felt curious of the author. She was more curious of the author than of the story. And this lady is also, at the same time, she was just struggling with her marriage, even if she has a beautiful family. I don't understand why. Anyway, yeah, it ended up with her exchanging emails with the author and them falling in love online. you know, that kind of thing. But what is really more beautiful in that part? I'm not really that interested about their love affair or their love story. I was more into the book, The Sweet Blasphemy, that was written by the author of that story. But the author in that story. So the story about the Sufi, how he was trying to find someone. He was like finding his soulmate, you know. He was in a quest of finding his soulmate. He was a Sufi. He kind of reflects, he reminds me of a prophet, and he reminds me of like a Jesus kind of type of character. And there is some magical stuff also on this one, but it's not that elaborate. It's more of a finding about his soulmate. And he found his soulmate in the story. And his soulmate was a guy. And at some point, it made me think if this is another LGBT kind of thing that is just not branded as LGBT kind of thing, because during that time it wasn't accepted, because this is a very, very kind of 12th century stuff, 12th century setting. So anyway, it was a good one. I've cried so much with this book. I was hormonal probably while reading this book, but I've cried so much with the words. The 40 Rules of Love is something that I have to go back into. I felt like this is something that I have to live with. Those are very good rules. And I'm going to keep the book. I have the book with me and I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to let anyone borrow it. I am going to highlight the 40 rules in it, although it's already been written on italic phrases. But definitely, definitely, I'm going to read it back. It was beautiful. And the end of the story, I felt like... Well, the ending was not really as something I... The ending... is something that I already know is gonna happen. So the beginning was such a bomb, the ending was quite but it was the ending. There's nothing else to do with it. I would rather have a book that has a beautiful beginning and a beautiful foundation, a beautiful start, a beautiful rising, and a great climax than a book that is just justified by the ending. Sometimes when the build up is already good, it doesn't matter how it ends, you know. It will end in its own way and its own accord, so it doesn't matter to me anymore how it would end, how the story would unfold. Just give me a good build up and I'm all right with it. So yeah, that was my 2023 reads. It's already 5 a.m. in the morning and I'm gonna edit this podcast. Probably, I'm not sure if I would be able to publish it or what. And I know that my voice is really racked up, really different, and this is just a blabber about the books that I've read. But this is a podcast for like an entire year. This is a book podcast for like an entire year. I've been making book podcasts since 2020. And to do this again in my own place, in my own room here in England, is something that I am truly grateful for. So I started the podcast doing in my room. And I was inside the closet because I don't want anyone to hear me talking in English. I don't want anyone to think that I'm going crazy or something. And now I'm here. It's very quiet because it's 4 a.m. in the morning. And I can even hear the wind outside. It's just wonderful to be able to share again the books that I've read. And for the year 2024, I'm not sure what kind of episode I would make, but hopefully I get to talk about more of the books that I would be reading. Goodbye for now.